All right, the title of the message this morning is Antichrist to Armageddon. We're just going to get to the Antichrist part today, hopefully through that. But I just want to tell you something. I believe that the Antichrist is alive today. They say, what? Wait a minute. How do you know? Who is he? Well, I don't know. But the reason I believe that the Antichrist is alive today, the beast is alive today, is because of Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, which says nobody knows the day or the hour when the Lord's going to come back. And so if nobody knows the day or the hour, that means that Satan has to have a man picked in every generation who can step into the place to become completely demon-possessed and to become the minion of Satan and form the satanic trinity. That is Satan exercising the position of God, because Satan is the god of this world and he wants to be worshipped, and that's what this is all about. And then we have the Antichrist, or the first beast. He mimics the ministry of Jesus Christ. He's wounded in the head and then he lives. So death and resurrection, and he counterfeits what Christ does. And then the Holy Spirit is mimicked by the second beast, if you would, or the false prophet. So hence you have the satanic trinity. And so in every generation, there needs to be someone who can fulfill the position of the first beast or the Antichrist and the second beast, which is the false prophet. Now, it's been 6 weeks since we've studied Daniel because of my being gone and because of resurrection and all the things that are around there. But I want you to understand, as we look at Daniel chapter 11, we are seeing a very interesting thing. We're seeing a transition between verse 35 and verse 36. In verse 35, we have the historic character of Antiochus Epiphanes. And we looked about him. We looked about how he took over all the land, how he fulfilled those prophecies. Now, when you jump from verse 35 to 36, you move from history to prophecy. Now, that's what happens. We move to the prophetic Antichrist that will be revealed at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation time that will happen right after the rapture takes place. Now, what is the rapture? For those of you who don't know what the rapture is, it is a time when believers, that's you and me, from the church age that started at Pentecost and has gone through all of this time. It started, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and then he went to heaven, and then the church began at Pentecost. 3,000 people trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. 3,000 people were baptized, and 3,000 people were added to the church all in one day. That's the beginning of the church. But Israel was dropped. Israel, because of their apostasy, Israel, because they rejected Jesus Christ, was cut off. And it was us, Gentiles, who were grafted in the vine of God and of Jesus Christ there. And so we had the chance to come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and be saved. And so, man, I'm rapture practice, man. Because all those who are born again believers in this current age of grace, also called the church age, when there is a shout from heaven, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. It'll be much louder than that. And the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, I was going to bring my shofar in this morning. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I don't care whether you're Baptist, Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian, agnostic, antichrist, antichristian, you're going to be left behind. And you are going to meet the man of sin. You are going to meet the son of perdition. You're going to meet the lawless one, the beast, the profane man, the wicked prince of Israel, the little horn, the vile person, also called the willful king. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? All those are names. There's others, but all those are named for the Antichrist. The Antichrist. If you have your Bibles now, we're looking at Daniel chapter 11 and verse 36. And so in Daniel 11, 36, it says, and the king. Let's look at that little king. The king there is also called in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 8, he's called the little horn. He's called the ruler in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26. But who this king is, he is the final ruler of the revived Roman Empire. You'll remember that as we studied Daniel, this huge image that started with Nebuchadnezzar being the head of gold, and then it comes down to the legs of iron, and then iron and clay, and that sort of things, and that's representing the Roman Empire, but the Antichrist is the last ruler of the revived Roman Empire. He's the last one there, and he raises to prominence by satanic power. He's going to try and control the world. If you have your Bibles, stick your finger in Daniel chapter 11, but go all the way over to Revelation chapter 13. We're going to learn a little bit more about the rise to power here of the Antichrist in verses 1 through 8. In 13, 1 through 8, he is called the beast. And here is what it says. In the book of Revelation, and you see, Daniel's book, when we get to chapter 12, we see that Daniel's book was closed and sealed up till the end times. And the reason that we can know what's going on, this is the end times, friends. This is it. You're living in it. And here's what it says. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. I'll talk to you about this a little bit. I do not think that the Antichrist is Jewish, but I'll talk to you about that in a minute because he comes up out of the sea of the people. And since he is going to be the leader of the last Roman Empire, he's going to be the last leader of the Roman Empire. I believe he's Gentile through and through. But anyway, let's move on. And having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head, the names of blasphemy. He is a horrendous, blasphemous, vile person. That's who's coming to power here. And it says, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as of the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion. And look at this. How is he empowered? How is this vicious, vile man empowered? Here it tells you. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Who's the dragon? The dragon is the old serpent, the devil, Satan himself. This is a satanic, empowered world usurper, world leader. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. Oh, he's mimicking the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a counterfeiter. And all the world wondered at the beast. Oh, he's got to be a legitimate thing. It says, and look at this. And they worshiped the dragon. Who's that? It's Satan. It's the devil. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave him his power. Devil worship. That is exactly what Satan wants. Right. Satan, he said, I will be like the Most High. He wants worship. He wants to usurp God. He wants to be worshiped. And this is what he's coming to fruition in the Antichrist. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, look at this. Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Don't even try. We just need to bow and serve, because who can make war with him? We'll see a little bit more about that as we get into this. And there was given unto him, look at this, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue for 42 months. That's the last 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme the name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. They are Christian haters. They are Christ haters. They are God haters. He's a God hater. He's a Christian hater. He's a Christ hater. As I was telling Sunday school, he's a Jew hater as well. Do you know what the best-selling book in Germany was last year? Mein Kampf. You know who wrote that? Adolf Hitler. You know what the title means? My struggle. You know what it is? It's a tirade against the Jews. It's the Jews that are all the problem of all the world. You know that they figure in 2 years, 3 years, there's not going to be a Jew left in France because ISIS and Islam is so entrenched in France that they're finding Jews and killing them one by one in France. I just read that article. And there's many Jews fleeing from France now because anti-Semitism is raising its ugly head major again. That's why I know we are living in the last of the last days. It says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given over all kindred and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have ear, let him hear. What we have here is the beast's rise to prominence by satanic power. And according to John in Revelation 17, 12, and 13, he will gain military power by the consent of 10 kings who will submit to him rather than fight against him. And he's so powerful, they'll just say, sure. And so they'll make him vassals, but they'll pledge their allegiance to the Antichrist, to the beast. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 36, we move from the near prophecy to the far prophecy that's coming. And the events are recorded in Daniel chapter 11, 36 through 45. And this is the last or the final 7 years of the 70 weeks that we've been studying about. Let's look at verse 36. It says, the king in Daniel chapter 11 will do according to his will. What that means is he is completely unrestrained. Nobody tells him no. He's going to do exactly what he does. And if you do not obey, off with your head. Literally. It's going to be just like that. He's clearly self-willed. He refuses to be accountable to anybody. He will do as he pleases. He's a law unto himself. And as I mentioned, those who resist, nobody's going to say anything because he's going to kill thousands, yea, millions, my friends. That's how bad it's going to be. That's what the Antichrist is going to be like. Let's look at verse 36 again. It says, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. I'll tell you what. Antichrist usurps control in the religious realm. In the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, he's lets a one-world church be developed, and he lets the Jews worship as they want. But in the middle of the tribulation, that all comes to an end. You know what he does? He puts down all religions. Oh, no, I'm not going to stand on the chair. He puts down all religions, and you know what? He sets up a statue of himself in the tribulation temple and demands that they worship him. And if they don't, guess what happens? You know, he's blasphemous. He's rebellious against all gods, but especially the God of the Bible. And he follows the pattern of the Roman emperors of the past. When we went to Caesarea Philippi, remember there was a temple to Tiberius because they worshiped Tiberius, and they made temples around where they where they worshiped the, you know, they worshiped the Caesars, if you would. I'm thinking about Herod. We even visited the other Caesarea, Caesarea by the Sea, Caesarea Maritima. And there it was that Herod Agrippa, he was dressed in very bright clothing, and he stood up and the people said, "Oh, it's a god!" And because Herod gave not God the glory, you know what God did? Struck him down with worms and he died. But this man isn't having any restraint. He's blasphemous against God. He's the willful king. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, it's just amazing what happens when a world turns its back on God. He wouldn't be able to have this power. He wouldn't be able to have this power. But remember what happens in the rapture. All the believers get caught up. And literally, I'm not cursing, all hell breaks loose. The demons are unleashed. And so he says, "Oh, I'm God." And he has the power behind it, because if you will not worship him, you're dead meat. Here's what we read in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God." Doesn't matter. The Hindu gods, the Christian gods, the Shintoism gods, the Buddhist gods, the gods of the earth, Gaia, Diana, you name it. "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped." Now here it is. I told you about this. "So that he, as God," I am God, "he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." And the whole world is going to cower before him, except those who refuse to take the mark of the beast. And then it's short-lived for them. I just want to tell you, you need to get saved now. You don't want to be in this place. You don't want to be there. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, what is your holdup? You want to be in something like this? You think it's bad here? You ain't seen nothing. Or, correctly, you haven't seen anything. Let's move on. "He speaketh marvelous things against the God of gods." What's the marvelous things? That's an interesting word. It means surpassing, extraordinary. He is more blasphemous than anybody who has ever blasphemed. I think Stephen Hawking knows better now. Charles Darwin knows better now. All those great Christ rejectors, when they've died, they go immediately to hell, waiting to be cast into the lake of fire. But his mouth is set on fire of hell. In fact, he's the very mouth of hell. He opens his mouth and hell talks. He is profane. He is a blasphemer of blasphemers. Revelation 13, 5 and 6 again, it says, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue for 42 months, that's 3.5 years, and he opened his mouth and blasphemy against God. It says to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Now you say, why does God let him go by? Why does God let it go by? Because God is judging a world that has rejected him, because the Jews have rejected him. But I want to tell you, what does God think about that? I can tell you what he thinks about it. All you have to do is read Psalm 2. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. God has the last laugh. A lot of people mocking God today. A lot of people taking God's name in vain. A lot of people are using OMG without realizing that's a curse word. That's oh my God, and they're using it in their text and everything. They don't realize they're blaspheming God. But this one, the Antichrist, blasphemes above blasphemes. But I'll tell you what, God is going to take care of it. The world now, you know, seeing is believing for the world. It was interesting. There was a lawsuit going on, and I'm trying to think of that famous magic guy, David Copperfield. He had to reveal one of his tricks in court because he was under a lawsuit, so he had to reveal that trick. But the world will be persuaded to worship the Antichrist because of the miracles that he performs. Revelation 13, 11 through 15. Turn with me back to Revelation 13. You ought to just read this afternoon. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all power of the first beast before him, and he caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he goeth, and look at this, and he doth, here it is, he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwelt on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had a wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, you might not like what I'm going to tell you right now, but they are advancing robotics so quickly. They are even making women sex robots. And not only that they are making or trying to make a strain of genetic beings that are not human beings, that are a combination of animals and human beings, like superhuman beings. And by the time you get here, that's perfected in some way, shape, or form. And all of the people, they can't discern what's real and what's not real. And he's doing these miracles, and he brings this beast to life, the image. And they say, that's got to be of God. That's got to be of God. You know what? God's sending them a strong delusion that they believe a lie. They believe a lie. The Antichrist will prosper till the indignation is accomplished. It says in verse 36 as well, for that, there's a double that, for that is determined shall be done. the Antichrist will prosper. He'll be successful in his world exploits to conquer. And why? God allows this because God's indignation or judgment is of the Jews and the world that's been disobedient to him. And because of the Jews' rejection of the Messiah, God's going to allow all of this to continue so that people realize the end of following the natural way. There's so many people who think, I don't need God. I don't need Christ. I can do my own thing. I can be just fine. This is the ultimate end. What you see here is the ultimate end of humanism, a world without God. And you see humanism, what it's doing to the United States of America right now. In the new form for Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, you can decide whatever gender you want to be. I mean, there's like 12 different genders. Let me just tell you something. That's the end of humanism. You're either XX or XY. I don't care. You can stand on your head. You can wiggle your ears. But you are what God created you to be. But what you're seeing here is the end of humanism, and we're seeing it develop right before our eyes as God is cast off. God says, you know what the judgment for sin is? Often more sin. I was listening to a radio program yesterday. It's crazy. There's two college professors that believe that you ought to be able to have sex with plants. Yeah, I know. I'm going, they've been smoking too much of the wrong weed. Well, that's for sure. But they've even written a paper on it. And I'm going, but you see, God's going to let that run, but the end will come abruptly. And the phrase, that determined shall be done, it indicates that the Antichrist will be finished once and for all at the end of the seven-year tribulation. Look at Revelation 19, verse 19 and 20. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies. Oh, something else. I got to stop here. Come tonight. We're going to, I believe, get to Mount Precipice in Nazareth. And in Mount Precipice, you look down 300 feet, and you see Armageddon. And that's what it's talking about here. You'll be able to see it tonight, what this is talking about. As we look at this and we read this in Revelation 19, 19 and 20, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together and make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. The end for them. Goes on to explain a little bit more. It says in verse 37, now look at it quickly, I'm going to continue on, get this done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. Some have thought this indicates that he's a Jew. I disagree. Since the individual will be the ruler, the last ruler of the Roman Empire, since he's the little horn of the fourth beast, it would follow that he must be a Gentile. But he shows no regard for the God or gods of his fathers. And in order to gain absolute power in the religious realm, He has absolutely, positively no respect for his religious heritage. Now, let's move on to the next. It says, nor desire, nor the desire of women. There's disagreement among Bible scholars about what this means. I'm not going to get into theological gyrations here. I'm just going to deal with what it says. I believe that this Antichrist has no normal desire or interest in women. That means that he might be celibate, or that means he might be a sodomite, or that means that he is so power hungry that he has no time for women. I've known a couple of men, Christian men, and they behave themselves well, but they just don't have any interest in women at all. But this one is for a different reason. So he's either celibate, or he's a homosexual, or he is so power hungry that he has no time or no desire, because look at verse 37. Nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. He is in love with himself. He is totally in love with himself, and what he worships is military power. See verse 38. It says, and in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. It's real interesting. I worked on this quite a while. What that says in the Hebrew is kind of a complicated thing. It's the literal translation. It's right, he shall honor the God of forces, but it says the God of munitions and armaments. You know, his God is war. And the things that you make war with. He loves the latest military things. He invests all his money in the latest military things. He wants to conquer the whole earth. He makes Alexander the Great look like a pauper. And that's really what we read in the rest of verse 38, a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and precious stone and things. It's talking about the God that it is talking about, the God of munitions and armaments. He spends all of the treasure that he gets making war and war implements. When I was back in the 60s, right out of high school, I worked in a machine shop. 8 to 10 hours a day. 5 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week. I turned out 81-millimeter, mortar cones and howitzer base plates. Stacks and stacks and stacks. Why? For the Vietnam War. We were fighting in Vietnam, and that's what I made day after 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 day for the 2 summers that I worked there at Rochester Gear. That's all I made. Mortar cones and howitzer base plates. Well, that's what he spends all of his money on. And basically what he does is he's trying to conquer everything, and he even pays his minions to help him along with this, and so he sets up little paupers in power. That's what it's talking about here, that he gives them pleasant things and so on to be able to assist him to make his conquering work. And I'm just going to end up with this. Antichrist is Satan's tool. Because you know what? All the time that they think that they worship the Antichrist, you know who they're worshiping? The devil, and the devil's eating it up. The whole world at his feet, thumbing his nose at Jesus Christ. The Christians are gone. Well, not really, because there's going to be 144,000 Jews that come to know Jesus Christ. And there's going to be many other people that come to know Jesus Christ. But two-thirds of the world is going to be completely wiped out. Two-thirds of the world's population, you read Revelation, two-thirds of the world population is going to be gone. Gone! Dead! In hell! Except for the Christians that are that part, and it's a small part. But I'm telling you, as I stand here today, as I am alive and as I am real, that this is coming to pass. The Antichrist is going to rise. He's going to have a 7-year run. He's going to conquer most of the world. And we're going to study about the Battle of Armageddon next week. I remind you of Revelation 12:12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. See, I'm not going to be there when all this happens. I'm going to be in heaven. And this is a warning. It's telling you that. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. I'm going to be dwelling in there. Why? Because I'm so good? Are you kidding me? No, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I trust that Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. And you got a bunch of churches running around, and they're telling everybody that they're saved by their good works. They're going to hell if they believe that. That's what irritates me so much. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. The devil hates people. You say, what? I said the devil hates people. And he wants as many as hell in hell as he can get there. Why? In the image of God created he them, male and female. We're created in the image of God. The devil hates that. The devil rebelled against God, and hell was created for the devil and his angels. But you'll go there. You'll go there if you neglect to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I looked for it this morning, couldn't find it. I've told you about it many times. I have a little track someplace, but I couldn't find it this morning. It says, what do you have to do to go to hell? And let's just pretend that this is the track. So you... here's the tract, and it says right here, what do you have to do to go to hell? And you open it up. Nothing. He that believed not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you'll get to meet the Antichrist very likely. Is that something you really want to do?